Welcome to another podcast. I am Tracy Zemiska, and I'm here with my friend Melissa Major. And she, I believe you finished your teacher training before I did. We were kind of on similar paths at the same time, which was really cool to see and to hear people's experiences, you know, from their own teacher trainings and whatnot. But Melissa also has it been 2 years now, Melissa, the your Balance and Brews, or is it just a year?
It's like a year and a half.
A year and a half. So Melissa is a pioneer in yoga and beer yogi, and a lot of it's spreading throughout the United States now. In fact, she's heading out on a U.S. tour of sorts at the end of the month to kind of see where that takes her and find different people to practice with throughout the U.S. But I just want to welcome you. Thank you for joining. And I will also have her contact info in the comments so that if, you know, there's a situation where you really resonate with something that she said and you want to contact her and talk about your own experiences, feel free to do that. She's super open and very welcoming person. So thank you for being with us. And I just wanted to get started. If you want to talk about when you started practicing yoga, what brought you to yoga, why you do it.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Tracy.
Sure.
I started my I started practicing yoga at home with videos, and it was a terrible idea. I messed up my knees from not having good alignment, and I was just intimidated about yoga studios, but there was a yoga studio like 2 blocks from my house. So I finally let a friend talk me into taking a class with her, and it was amazing. I can still remember like most of the flow and sequence and everything about that first class. And then within maybe a year and a half after that, I went for my teacher training, and it's kind of rolled itself into a full-time career since then.
Awesome. When you, so I think like about 2 years ago then, you made the leap really, right, to leave your full-time job?
No, probably longer than that. I was not working a full-time job when I started yoga teacher training. So I was able to do a summer intensive program where it was 3 weeks. It was 1 week in June, 1 in July, and 1 in August. And it was amazing. It was very intensive, though. But it's just what worked out for my schedule because I wasn't working a job at the time.
Awesome. And do you think that because you already like had made that leap, you kind of maybe saw yoga as having an opportunity to be a full-time employment, or do you think that's something that you had to work up to and kind of reimagine things in your life for that to be accomplished?
No, I had to work up to that. I was still running my soap and candle business at that time, which was successful considering the amount that I put into it. I had business lessons with that business, but I thought that that was going to be my career, and I just wanted to be a traveling yoga teacher. I never saw myself getting getting in with a studio or like a home base. I thought that I would roam around with it.
Mm-hmm. And do you find, like I teach at lots of different places, and I know when I first did my teacher training, the studio that I did it at, the owner was like, you really need to find a home base and stay there because people don't want to travel around for you. You know, they want to be able to buy packages at studios and just come to one place. And so you really need to commit and be on board, you know, in one studio. And I've always taught at least 2 places. But right now I teach at 4 like actual studios. And then I also have kind of ad hoc places that I teach at. And then I have some corporate clients, and I like being able to move around, and I have found actually that people will follow me, you know, like I will have people kind of show up out of the blue. And so I'm wondering like what your experience has been with that.
Yeah, I don't think you should pigeonhole yourself at all. Like, you should have a home base, and you are like developing and growing your region right now. And I love like the crowd that I grew from the ground up with the studio that I work at, Harmony in downtown Willoughby. But I also do love like roaming around and doing guest spots at other studios and workshops at other studios and Balance and Brews and the breweries. And people will follow you. They're going to be loyal to the studio and loyal to you, and there's going to be crossover.
Yeah, for
So
sure. I
yeah,
think it's
I agree. I don't think that you should. When you're new, you have to grow a following, and you should like stick to one area to do that, but never feel like you're stuck anywhere.
What is your main reason for becoming a teacher? Like, why did you decide to pursue that?
I lost my mom right before I decided to do training, and I had been thinking about doing training, but it seemed like something I could never do. It seemed really big and really intimidating, and I thought that there were like magic poses that I had to learn how to do before I was even good enough to go to yoga teacher training. And that's of course not true, and that's kind of one of the big things that you learn while you're in training. It's just as much growth for you as it is educational. So I just needed that like big life-changing push to realize that time is valuable and it's short, so do something with it while you can.
Yeah, definitely. And I just want to touch quickly about your mom. I remember one time you said something to me because she, and you don't have to get into the specifics of her life or anything, but part of her illness really limited her ability to breathe. And I remember you talking about how that was really kind of impactful for you, like the breath work and really working on your breath. And it kind of almost got you to a place where you felt this stronger connection because of her limitations.
Yeah, I would say that definitely influenced what I gravitated towards, and how I teach is very breath and pranayama based.
I think it's really important, always to acknowledge, like, I don't think that people realize sometimes how yoga really seeps into every aspect of your life and how you're really able to, it is sort of like a living, breathing thing, our practice and why we do it. But what do you think, like, keeps you coming back the most to your mat and practicing?
A sense of freedom. It's like it's something different every time. Like sometimes you are really cranky and you know that you just need to stop what you're doing and go breathe and remember that it's not really anything worth stressing out over. But if I had to tie like an overall thing into it, I would say it's freedom. Like from whatever is tying you down or from wherever you want to go.
And I've definitely seen, like, over the years that I've known you, which I always lose count, so I never know like how
I
long
know.
we've been friends.
I think we met at Salty, didn't we?
Yeah, we
When you
definitely,
were
that's where we
making the
met.
necklaces. Yeah.
Yeah,
But I don't know what year that
so
was.
it's been a long time, whenever that was. But one of the things that I love most about watching you and your life and your journey and how you've expanded so much, like as a person, is just kind of your fearlessness. And I think that goes along with freedom. I think that I definitely see that desire in your practice and in the choices that you make in your life. And I don't know if you want to talk about just recently this winter, you took a little hiatus and left the cold Ohio for South America, yes?
Central America.
Central America. Do you want to talk about your decision about why, like how you decided to do that and just leave here for 2 months, I think it was you were gone?
Yeah, it was almost 2 months. Cleveland's great, and it's a great place to live, and I will always have my roots here. But last winter, not this past winter, but the one before, when it was really, really bitter cold and everything was frozen and it was negative temperatures like every day for months on end. Sean, my husband, and I decided that we were miserable. We had been talking about taking a year off of everything and moving to Costa Rica for a year, and then kind of decided, like, why does it have to be a year? It doesn't have to be that structured. And do we really need that whole year? Is it smart to, like, drop businesses for that long? So instead we decided we were so miserable in the winter. All we did was come home, pile up under a bunch of blankets, order pizzas and watch Netflix. And we were super unhealthy and super unhappy. So we just didn't want to do that again. It was a little bit of a financial risk, but it turned out fine. And all of the money that we saved, like not eating pizza and drinking beer and being miserable every night, it was worth it. It was like a health investment.
Awesome.
We were warm and we were active and we had jobs that allowed us to do that, which I know we're really lucky that we have that.
Well, I think that's really important, though, to talk about. Like, I saw on Facebook the one day you and Sean were having a conversation that you transcribed into Facebook, and you were in Athens, Ohio, which is near Columbus, for those of you who might not know where Athens is. But you were talking about that it was Pirate Day, and you saw somebody walking around as a pirate, and you were like, man, I wish I had gone to college so that I could be have a Pirate Day. And he said, you are your own boss. You can dress up like a pirate whenever you want. And I think it's so important to, you know, remember that, because you and I do have, there is a great risk in what we've chosen to do with our lives by living outside of the normal structure of what people think your job should be or your profession should be. And in addition to it being a financial risk, it is, you know, it's an emotional risk too. And I know when I stopped working full time, getting laid off, it took me a really long time to stop having a disclaimer, like when I would say what I did. When people would ask me, oh, what do you do? I would say, oh, well, I have a master's degree in urban planning, but I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm teaching yoga. And it was like I had to. I felt so insecure about not talking about that past life of mine that was, you know, really from the norm. And it took a while. I would say a good 6 to 8 months before, when people would ask me what I do, I could confidently say, oh, I'm a yoga teacher and a Reiki master and a life coach, and this is what I do every day, and I have a really awesome job, and I get to connect to people in a way that I might not otherwise, you know, if I did something different.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I don't know if you want to talk about any fears that you had to overcome by, you know, doing this full-time or...
Being married to someone with a stable job definitely made the leap a little bit easier. Like, we're in a house that our payments aren't crazy and we're fairly responsible with money. Like, travel is our splurge thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of did it and it started to grow. So Sean has been really supportive of it. And as much as it's been, like making a heck of a lot less money than I was making at my last job, we've also like found ways to cut expenses. Like, to live here and to need all the stuff that culture and society tells us we need, you do need to make really good money. But if you're like, no, thank you, I don't want all of that stuff, and I can go down to one car and I don't need to like go to all these fancy places and have the label clothes, then you don't need all of that money. It's just a exchange.
For sure. And I do think it is about, you know, deciding like what's important to you and what you can, you know, what you want your life to look like. You know, what are the things that you value?
Right.
Do you value things? Do you value experiences? Do you, you know, is your housing important to you? Is your location important to you? Like, everything you have to decide. And there are days, and I know you feel this way too, because we, you know, thank God I have Melissa. I will say that she is one person that I can, like, on my crazy days when I feel like I'm going to lose my shit completely, I can text her and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, and this, I am second guessing everything, like, in this very moment. And, you know, when she has a minute to breathe, she will text me back and be like, yeah, I've been there and it's okay. Like, you're going to be okay. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that that's so helpful to have that support, you know, to be able to say, like, I'm totally losing it right now and I'm losing confidence and direction, and to have people that you can go to, you know, just for that extra support and that push. And, you know, to be quite honest, too, about our relationship, we definitely used to see each other a lot, and now we hardly ever see each other, but I know that you're there for me. I don't even have to necessarily call you. Like, I just know that your energy is available, and I know that I can think to myself, these people that are doing the same thing as me, they've been here before. And I can look at you and I can go on your website or go on Facebook and say, look, she's normal, she's alive, so you're going to make it.
Absolutely, my love.
And I think that that's really important. So that's one, I think, really big advice point, you know, for the yogis out there who are trying to do this. Like, you can do it. I mean, you really can do it. You have to make a lot of choices, and there's definitely this level of sacrifice. But one thing that I found in moving to a different community, there's a lot of people down here who have a belief that you can totally be a yoga teacher, but you can't make money doing it. And I think that that's just not true. I mean, I think that you can definitely support yourself. It might not be, you know, at a really high level where, like you were saying, you can have all the frills in life. But there's definitely a way to do this where you can really be supporting yourself and having an income that is really good for supporting your life and stuff.
There is. I think it's a good time because the industry is growing and becoming more it's bad that it's becoming more commercialized, I guess. And I'm kind of feeding into that with Balance and Brews, but I have reasons. I'll get into that later. but it's more, there's a lot more awareness to it now, so there is more of a need. And as long as you're doing it for the right reasons because it's your calling, then, yeah, you, like, make it happen. There's plenty of yoga studios. There's plenty of privates out there. There's plenty of opportunities. So if you're getting into it and you know, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do, then, yeah, you have to go for it.
For sure. And, I mean, you brought up the commercialization, and we've talked briefly, you know, before about this idea of kind of East meeting West. And, you know, what do you think the pros and cons are of commercialization of yoga?
I think it's a necessity here because of what our lifestyle is. Like, we aren't ancient Indian yogis, and we don't live in the same culture, and we don't have the same surroundings and the same experiences, so we kind of have to westernize it, or it just doesn't fit. If every yoga class was like super solemn, and you had to sit there and meditate, and you had to do this, and you had to do that, and you, like, using the word had and have on purpose, if it was that strict, nobody would do it, because that's not how, like, we've evolved and how our brains and everything is wired. So it has to be westernized, or no one's going to respond to it. And once you kind of get into it, the deeper you get into it, then you start to backtrack into the actual roots of it. And maybe some people will never get past going to power classes every day after work, but if that makes them feel good to sweat every day and it takes anxiety out of their mind, who cares? It's fine.
That's what I always tell to people too. I mean, I think that there's a place for all of the different styles of yoga, and I tell my friends this. I mean, I will get people, friends and family, that are always sort of guilty. They'll see me at a holiday function, and they'll be like, oh, I've so wanted to do yoga with you. I'm so sorry I haven't come to any of your events. And I'm like, dude, I'm not the teacher for everybody, you know? Like, people, you need to find the teacher that works best for you, number one. And number
right.
two, as long as you're doing yoga and you're on the mat, I don't care. Like, that's what I want. I want more people to do yoga, and I want more people feeling comfortable doing yoga. And I think it's really important to, whatever gimmick you need to get people on the mat should happen. Like, people talk about the naked yoga and things like that, and I just think, I don't care. It's getting people on the mat. That's the most important
right.
part.
And that's how I think you can tell, like, a true teacher from someone who is just like, oh, this is really cool, and I want to be able to wear yoga pants to work every day. That's how you make the separation. Like, we need to make money, and we know that, but we also are doing it because we know that this is what we should be doing, and we trust that those people will find us.
Yeah.
We have to do the work to make ourselves visible and then just trust a little bit.
For sure. So do you want to talk about your, you know, what you've launched? What you've launched, your Balance and Brews, and, like, why you decided to do it. And
yes. First, I do want to say, because it's grown so much, and I wasn't the first person to do it. I would say I'm definitely one of the first people. But when I started it, I was working at Harmony and Willoughby, and they were doing a lot of yoga and wine workshops, and I just don't like wine. So I was like, why? And I drink beer all the time. So I was like, well, why can't we do a yoga and beer workshop? And they were like, okay, let's give it a go. So we did a yoga workshop, brought beer into the studio, and just kind of themed it. Like, Deschutes had an inversion IPA, and of course Dogfish had Namaste. So we kind of, like, made it cutesy and tied it together and, like, themed these beers with the class, drinking after the class, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I remember Michael and I came to one of them at Harmony.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. And Sean was like our beer educator. Like I made him do a bunch of research and talk about the beers, and we like did it as a true tasting. It wasn't just like pop open a beer and get drunk. There was some educational aspect behind it, and I realized that I wanted more of that and to like tie the industries together, and why not take it to the breweries and let them and their expertise be a part of it also. So that's kind of how it started for me. It was like 2012, and we did those. I think we did two yoga and beer workshops at the studio, and then I have friends who were opening a brewery down on East Fourth, but during the brewer. So we had been wanting to do like a yoga and beer workshop with them for a while, and they reached out and said, "Hey, we're opening in whatever month. We have all the space. Do you guys want to try something here?" So was really lucky that we had that connection and they were willing to give it a shot, and it's grown crazy since then.
It's amazing, and I think the thing that I like the most about it, and I've only been able to come to a few of your events,
You
but the
were the
ones that
very first one.
I was at the
We
very first one, which was so
had
much fun.
our photo shoot in the freezing cold. It was so fun.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. One of the things that I love, though, every time that I've been is, I think almost every time I've been, there's been somebody who's either never done yoga before or has maybe done it once or twice. And this is like, they're still really kind of new to yoga. And the other thing that I like too is how many guys you have coming to the class. And I think that it definitely, because it takes place in a brewery and because it involves beer, it's getting more guys, more men to be like interested in yoga. And I feel like, that's one of the things that I'm always striving for is to encourage there to be more diversity, not just,
Right.
with gender in all ways, but it's really nice when there is gender diversity in classes because I think that a lot of times Western-wise, we think of yoga as a female thing. And in reality, when yoga first was founded, it was only men who were practicing it in India. And it was
Right.
later that women, had the opportunity to participate. So I don't know if you want to talk about that or like some of the encounters you've had with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of all everything that you rolled into there is why I started doing this, because I was intimidated to go into the studio for the first time. And once you're there, like anyone listening right now that is nervous to go into a studio, this probably won't be the thing that pushes them over the edge, but you just have to know when you're ready to do it. If you're intimidated by it, or if you like went to a class and had a bad experience, unfortunately there are not good teachers out there. So, you want to make sure that you find the right You have to feel right about the place and the teacher that you're going into. So why I started doing this in the first place was to make it a really approachable setting. So those people, like I was nervous about going into a yoga studio for the first time, they don't have that maybe intimidation factor. It's a little bit more casual. You know that you're going to be drinking a beer at the end of it, so not to make it a reward, but if it needs to be a reward to get you to your yoga mat, that's totally fine. And it also kind of bridges that social gap.
Yeah, there is this level of, I think that guys especially are intimidated by yoga studios. We think of like yoga studios and Lululemon and Athleta clothes, and there's all these like really thin, hot, bendy girls, at a yoga studio. And the first thing that men always say to me is, "I'm afraid to go to yoga because I'm afraid I'm going to fart, and I don't want everyone to look at me." That's like the first thing that they say to me. And then after they say that, they're like, "And I'm afraid to get really sweaty because I'm going to be sweating everywhere, and all the women that are going to be there are like super hot and they're going to see me being all gross and sweaty." And I'm like, first of all, it's actually good if you pass gas. That's what some of the poses are supposed to do for you. So it's okay, and nobody cares. It's not fifth grade. Nobody's going to start laughing. And it does happen a lot in class. I think we could probably do a whole podcast just on that, like different situations when that's happened. And, I think that the more that we can make it accessible, seeing this transition, where we're trying, I think that as a culture, a world culture, we are trying to grow and evolve and to become more emotionally aware and to acknowledge that just having two gender roles that exist is really limiting in people's ability to express themselves. And I think
Right.
that we're really kind of moving forward, I hope, in this way where gender is less important and traditional gender roles are not as acknowledged or emphasized anymore. But, giving people a vocabulary, and traditionally speaking, men don't have a vocabulary to express how they feel. And that's one of the reasons why it's hard for them to talk about their feelings, because it just wasn't encouraged. You know, that language of, I have all these different feelings and I don't know what to do with them. I think that girls have an investment when they're young, especially with their mothers and teachers, of learning different ways to express how they feel, not just through language, but through other avenues like art and movement. And I think that boys don't always get that. They have this rambunctious, okay, you can go out and play soccer and baseball and do all that, or run around crazy with your friends and be obnoxious, but that's about it. They don't necessarily
yeah,
get,
kind of
you
all
know.
pegged into one thing.
Yeah, and I think that yoga gives them an opportunity to have those different moments. And you maybe, I don't know, I don't want you to speak for Sean for sure, but I mean, have you noticed a difference in your relationship and him even as yoga's become a bigger part of his life?
I thought for a while he was going to become a yoga teacher, and
Mm-hmm.
it still could happen down the road, but he's really busy with his job right now. But yeah, like he is definitely more into it now than he was at the start. Like at the start, it was kind of even, well, he would practice with me when I was doing my yoga teacher training, but it was just, I'm going to support her because that's what I'm supposed to do. And he will now go, would go if it wasn't for me. If I'm not teaching, he'll go to anyone's class, and he now gets the benefits for himself, not just because he did it for me.
That's amazing that he'll go to other classes too, which I think is really awesome. And I noticed too, one thing that we were touching on before is the diversity in gender in your classes. Do you feel like, I know you've taught at a studio long enough, do you feel like there is a difference between studio teaching and teaching in a brewery?
Definitely. And my studio classes are, they're 9:30 weekday classes, so it's not like I'm teaching in a prime time slot or anything. That's the schedule
mm-hmm.
that works for me. But it's probably 95% female. I do have some regular guys, mostly people that will come when they have a day off of work or if it's a holiday or a day that they can make it during the week. But yeah, it's a mostly female. I can't really speak for, like, I don't teach at the Hot Power Studio, and I think more guys are kind of drawn to that because it's like the strong interpretation of yoga. So I think that draws more guys. But
mm-hmm.
Melons and Brews is probably like 40-60, 50-50 even at some classes. It brings a lot of guys, and it is kind of like a fun social thing to do. Like, you were probably going to go out to dinner or have a beer anyway, so roll it all into one and get your workout, your meditation, whatever draws you to yoga, get that done for the evening, and then you still have that time with your spouse or your partner or your friends or whoever.
Now, do you want to talk about, too, like how Balance and Brews has grown? I mean, it was just you, and now you have teachers that teach for you, and, maybe you can talk a little bit about your trip, too, and what your how you got to do that and what started that, the whole idea of taking a trip and who you're traveling with and where you're planning on going?
Yeah. It started to grow, like back to the other trip, the Guatemala Latin America trip. Like, we committed to that. We bought our plane tickets. I requested off my studio, and Sean had everything lined up with his work to work remotely. And then Balance and Brews all of a sudden went bananas and everything started selling out like a month before we went, and I was really, really nervous about going, thinking, like, is this the dumbest thing I've ever done? I've been building this, like, working nonstop for a year, and it's starting to really, really pay off, and now I'm like, adios, I'm leaving the country. But I also think that I do, like, to go back to the whole wanting to get into yoga so that I could travel and explore with it, I do still want that ultimately, so in order to do that, I will need a Cleveland team to keep things going if I do decide to roam some more. So it was kind of like we have to do it. It was like a trial run. Everybody on my team was super supportive and willing to run everything while I was away, and everything went really smoothly. we've got really good teachers in place. So it worked out really well. And because of that, and because of being confident that we can keep it going and the vision and the brand can stay consistent, even if I'm not here, I met this girl, Mickey Trowbridge, through Instagram last year. No, 2 years ago? I don't know. At some point on Instagram, sent her a message and said, hey, she does yoga and beer also out in Salem, Oregon. And her style just kind of looked really similar to me, and I was drawn to reach out to her. So I sent her a message and said, let's, like, do a challenge or do something to show some sense of community and collaboration, because I think you were – she started doing it before me, and she was one of the first people to do this. So we just kind of wanted to, like, partner up. So we did a couple of challenges on Instagram, and then we did a tour in New York City last year of a few breweries. It was the first time we had ever met. We had no idea how it would go, but we met up, had a day to, like, get to know each other, put together a playlist and a sequence, and then teaching was, like, amazing. It was kind of like we shared a brain. We could easily, like, roll right into she would teach and I would teach and you would teach and I would teach. So it was pretty awesome, and we decided to jump off the cliff and go across the country this year. So in July, we'll be touring the country together.
Awesome. And how long are you guys going to be doing that?
A month. It's, like, 3 or 4 days short of a whole month.
And what is her business called?
She just calls it Yoga and Beer, but she operates under her name, Mickey Trowbridge.
Okay, so are you guys calling it, like, a Balance and Brews tour, or are you calling it something different? Like, what are you branding it as?
We joined it together and branded it as the Beer Yogis, which is kind of, I don't remember when we started using that hashtag last year, but that's the hashtag that we use for all the Beer Yogi challenges. I have a student, Gwen Bucknell, who does really lovely hand-lettered script. And when we started using the hashtag Beer Yogi for Balance and Brews, she, I think she wrote out Balance and Brews and Beer Yogi just, like, on an Instagram thing and tagged me in it. And I was like, this is gorgeous. So I hired her to, like, make this script for us. So all of the Beer Yogi shirts that you see are Gwen of It's Friday Designs hand lettering.
Awesome. Yeah, I know Gwen. She does a really nice job. So it's
yeah.
Nice to see her
stuff.
Oh,
that's right. From the salty days.
Yeah, from the salty days.
So that whole tangent on Beer Yogi, that's just kind of what we were calling ourselves. And Mickey adopted that. And then we decided that that would be an awesome thing to call ourselves. And it's very, like, united. United by Yoga and Beer is our tagline, and we just want to pull all of these communities together because it has grown so crazy much in the past, I'd say, like, the past year.
Awesome. And are you guys driving to all these different places?
We are driving. Mickey is driving here to Cleveland. Our first day is actually in Columbus. It's a little, because of adding some last-minute cities in, it's a little off the kind of off the way that we're doing it, but it's Columbus, Detroit, Cleveland will be, like, the big official opening tour party, and then we'll wind over to the East Coast and down the coast and over west and then up the West Coast and end in Oregon and her hometown.
Awesome. And how did you guys find the different breweries to work with? I'm looking at the website now with all the different events, and they all seem like they're pretty different.
Yeah, it was just a lot of legwork. We, Mickey actually, like, one day, I don't think she sleeps. She, like, drew up a map one day, and I was so happy. She's like, what do you think of this? And I was like, I think that I don't have any time to do that, so this looks incredible. So she kind of mapped out a route that made sense, and we, like, targeted cities on that, and then we just started reaching out to breweries in those cities, and we had to go off of our initial map a few times, but we didn't stray too far from this big loop of the country that we made. And
yeah, it looks pretty diverse. I think it looks like a good mix of different places.
Yeah, there's some really, like, brand new small startup microbreweries all the way up to, like, Rogue in Brooklyn and some really big name places, Alesmith in San Diego.
That's very exciting. I can't wait. Now, are you guys going to be doing a challenge while you're on the road? Like, can people find you on Instagram and participate in this in some way?
Yeah, we will definitely do a challenge probably before the tour, and then we'll be really active with posts and video content while we're on the tour.
Awesome. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is that you are kind of going forward with moving into a 500-hour teacher training, and I don't know if you want to talk about your decision to do that. Like, if you can give advice to any teachers now who might be contemplating, like, should they not? Like, what's, why are you doing it?
I would think that you should. And if you are a yoga teacher who doesn't want any continuing education, you should maybe ask why you're doing it. But well, I guess in anything, in any industry or any branch that you go, any path that you go on to, you should want to know more and know that it's always changing. And I love the training. Like the first training that I did was really diverse, and it wasn't like stuck into one. It wasn't like Baptiste Power or Ashtanga, or not like those are both great branches, but I liked that mine was like diverse from Hatha to like experts were brought in for restorative and prenatal. So first going into it, like I feel like I got a really good education, and then I could decide from there what appealed to me and which direction I wanted to go, which was all levels of vinyasa. So now that I know that, I like the yoga medicine training a lot because it's broken out into modules and you can get really specific. So the first one that I'm doing, and then I believe you are doing it also,
Yep.
the myofascial Chinese medicine, like that's it. That's what we'll be focusing on for the whole week. You don't have to worry about all these other things that you have to like think about. It's not vinyasa and prenatal and restorative and all this stuff being like thrown at you to absorb all at once. It's just that. So you can focus on that, become really expert in that, and then maybe that changes the way your path goes and you're really drawn towards it. Or maybe you're like, that's awesome. Now I know some more stuff and I might weave into classes a little bit, but I really want to focus on the spine next or hips or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I think one thing that, and you can correct me if you don't agree, one of the things that I always tell people who want to do a teacher training is to like actually ask for references from people who've been in the teacher training before. Like, you're investing a ton of money to get your 200-hour certification, and I mean the average around here, and I'm sure that in other parts of the country it's different, but in the state of Ohio, you're looking to spend somewhere between, $2,800 all the way up to $4,000 to get your 200-hour certification. And it's a lot, it's a huge chunk of money. And if you're going to be teaching part-time, it's going to take you a really long time to earn that money back. So, you're not going to earn it back in your first year of teaching, that's for sure. But I think it's really important to look at other programs and to really, interview people. I liked Tiffany. I saw her on Yoga Glow. When I entered the program, it was before she rebranded to the Yoga Medicine, and it was just Tiffany Cruikshank, teacher. But I actually sent my application in before I met her, and then I emailed them back and said, "Can you actually just hang on to this until I'm ready? Because I'm gonna meet her in a few weeks, and I want to make sure that we click and that who she is in real life resonates with me." And I think that that's the advice I always give to people when they want to do a teacher training is to take classes with the person or the people who are going to be teaching you and make sure that you connect to them.
You don't want to go into it blind at all.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, to acknowledge that you're going to find things from all teachers that you love and that you don't love. And teachers are human beings. I definitely have a cohort of people in my life who are teachers that work really hard to have a specific type of persona as a teacher. And the problem with that is that lack of like authenticity and being genuine. And if you do plan to, have one Facebook page where your students friend you on, or you hang out with them outside of classes, you can't keep up something that's fake. Like, you have to be really truly who you are, and you have to be real because it will shine through. And so I think it's important to go out there and sample and see, and to not be intimidated because every yoga studio is not full of super skinny, super young, super hot, really bendy girls that are half dressed. And that's not always what it's like at yoga studios. There's lots of
Right.
people with different abilities and different body sizes, and I think that's why it's important, you know, to sample things and to see what else is out there.
Absolutely.
So if you could give advice to people who've never done yoga and want to try it, what are like the top five things you would tell them off the bat?
The top five things to someone who has never tried yoga but wants to?
Yes. What advice would you give them?
One, to just do it. Like, if you're already thinking that much about it, stop thinking and just act. Kind of what you just said right now, like, find, don't go into it blind. Even if you can't really, the whole point of going to a class is to test out a teacher, but go with a friend, find a friend who has been going to classes, and maybe they'll go with you, or they can at least recommend a teacher that they're your friend, they know you, they'll know what teacher you would probably respond well with. Set no expectations. Like, just go, saying that you're going to walk into the studio, that's it. That's the only expectation that you should set. Drink a lot of water. And one last thing. I'm probably overthinking this too much.
Well, is there something that you wish you had known about yoga before you started?
No, I just wish that I would have gone to a studio sooner.
Yeah.
I'll have people that will come to a class and come up to me after class and say, this was my first class. Obviously, I balance and bruise all the time, but they'll come up to me at the studio a lot and say, this is my first class, and I really want to bring my friend back to your class. And they're not even asking a question. They're just telling me, like, thanking me for class and saying that they want to bring their friend back because they think that it would be a good fit for their friend. And I'll say, just get your friend to agree to come to a class once, to work with a teacher at least once, to get some alignment stuff done. And then, you can practice at home all you want. But, you know, as a teacher, like, you want to see someone's alignment and make sure that they're safe, and then go do whatever you want.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really important. I always tell people, and I might have even said this in the previous podcasts, because I say it a lot, there's no right or wrong way to do yoga. There's safe and there's unsafe. And my job
right.
is to make sure that all of the students that are in my class are safe, and
right.
that you're doing this in a way that is really supportive to you. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I really appreciate you being on the podcast and talking to me and sharing all of your insight. And hopefully after, I just thought of this now, after you guys are done with your tour, I should have you and Mickey on to talk about what you saw and what your favorite things were across the U.S. that you got to experience and cool stories that you have to tell.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So again, Melissa Major, Melissa Klimo Major, was our guest today, and I'm going to give you guys the information not just for Balance and Brews, but also for the Beer Yogis, because the tour is coming up, and in July, if it comes to a city near you, please take time to check these ladies out, because they're not just offering you a fun flow and some beer, but also a little bit of their heart and soul. And you can learn so much from just hanging out with them, even for 5 minutes. So take some time to check it out and see if they will be near you. Grab some friends, maybe take a road trip and visit them. Thanks again for joining us. And I am Tracy Zaniska.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Melissa. Thank you.